remembrance as I begin to ponder these things, scriptures just begin to come. Acts chapter 6, I think I want to read these verses first. Acts chapter 6, Brother Heiner actually read these scriptures, I think, two Sundays ago. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles in verse 6. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Jumping to Acts 13 and verse 3. Actually, go to verse 1, if you would. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. I didn't put that down there, but we might as well just read an extra two verses. We got time today. "Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." One more scripture text here. Quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore..." Verse 6, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." Everybody say, "the gift of God," "which is in thee." Everybody say, "gift of God that is in you." "Which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Verse 7 says, this is a verse that we read all the time in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If you think about, you know, if you've been in the Apostolic Church for any period of time, you understand this. If you're brand new to the Apostolic Church, maybe you get confused. Why do all these people walk around touching everybody? Y'all are a touchy group of people. You always, someone come up behind me, I'm praying, touching me. You get in some cities, some churches, some neighborhoods, you don't walk up behind somebody and touch them. They just, you might get just smacked. Wham! Some people a little more jumpy than others. I was talking to a man the other day. He says, "Yeah, when I go in a restaurant, I always sit in the shooter's seat." I said, "What is the shooter's seat?" "Oh, you're not from Oakland. You wouldn't understand." I guess not. The shooter's seat. Where's the shooter's seat at? But they, if you've been around for a while, you understand we're kind of a touchy-feely group of people when it comes to laying on hands. And in the natural sense, if you talk to people who are involved in the medical field, nursing, there's teaching and there's things that they try to instill in you with regard to helping people. And meeting people's needs while in the hospital, while in a medical facility, and talking about when people are in pain and people are in need, being sensitive to touch. And the calming that can come through touch, and the almost the transference of if a person is kind or is gentle or has a peace about them, they can just reach out and touch a little kid who's crying or maybe is scared, or a patient who's maybe dealing with some tragedy, and maybe grab a hold of their hand and just hold their hand while they talk to them, and there's just a calm that can come over them. They understand that. Babies love to be touched. You leave a baby lying somewhere and it'll cry and cry and cry, but you pick that baby up and hold it in your arms and begin to cuddle it, and it just, because they love to be touched. They love to feel that touch. There's a transference of love between the mother or father or the individual holding it and that baby. My wife loves to hold my hand. She feels my love. There's a transference of my love for her when we're walking through a store parking lot or the mall parking lot or wherever we're at, and I just reach out and hold her hand. She loves that. Your children love it when they come home from school or from work, and you're there and you reach out and you give them a big hug and you hold them tight. They love that. They love to be touched like that because there's a transference of your love toward them. Spiritually, if you look all the way back to the beginning of time, you go to the book of Leviticus and you begin to read about the instructions that the Lord gave to his people, specifically to Moses, regarding sacrifices. He says there in a couple different places, you can pick it up in Leviticus 8, you can pick it up in Leviticus 17, but he talks to Moses about the priest and how they're going to perform sacrifices for the sins of the people. And he tells him, when you go to sacrifice a bull, when you go to sacrifice an oxen and you slit its throat, I want Aaron to have his head upon that bull's head. And I want him to pronounce the sins of the people while his hand is on his head over that animal before he sacrifices it. And then you read on, I think it's somewhere in the 24th chapter, that when they talk about the goat, when the goat sacrifice and one goat being there for sacrifice and another goat being there where the sins of the people were pronounced over that goat's head by the priest. And he would put both of his hands on the goat's head and he would pronounce their sins over it. And then someone would lead that goat out into the wilderness and let that goat go. And everybody would watch that goat be led by that man out the gates of the tabernacle or the tent at that point, and out across the desert, wherever they would go, and let that goat go. And that signified to them that their sins were gone for that season of time. Don't tell me there's not power in the laying on of hands. If the Lord would instruct them to put your hands on that goat's head, Brother Cool's not a goat, put your hands on that goat's head and pronounce a sin over it, then he understood there was a transference. There was an impartation that came by the laying on of hands. So then you start to travel into the New Testament and you pick up stories like the woman with the issue of blood, who simply, the scripture says, said within herself, if I can just but touch the hem of his garments. And she pressed through the crowd and pressed through people and masses to just touch Jesus's garment. And when she did, when she touched him, he stopped. Said, who touched me? You read the story for yourself. The disciples were like, what? What do you mean, who touched you? There are people bumping into you all around. He knew in that moment of time that when that faith reached out and touched that hem, when that faith reached out and just grabbed a hold of in a split second of time, that there was an impartation, there was a transference that happened from him to her. And then you get into the book of Acts. Start talking about the church. Everybody say the church. And you start reading about Paul. You start reading about Peter. You start reading about men of God who what we picked up in Acts the 13th chapter, where they were getting ready to send men of God out on a mission. They separated individuals out and said, we're going to send you hither and thither. But before we do that, we're going to pray for you and we're going to lay hands on you. Now, you know, I think sometimes the laying on of hands becomes just a little too commonplace for us. It happens so much, you don't even realize it at times. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get prayed for and somebody's going to touch me, you know. Somebody's going to come up and they're going to, you know, put their hand on my shoulder. Somebody's going to put their hand on my head. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to feel all that oil, all that stuff on my head, you know. We lose sight of the fact of the importance that the Lord placed on it throughout Scripture and what he desired to accomplish by it. When you read Paul's letter to Timothy here, he begins to talk to and encourage Timothy with regard to giftings. Everybody say giftings. He begins to talk to Timothy about giftings. You see, he's placing Timothy in a place of authority, in a position of authority. And there's obviously some people looking at Timothy's age and saying, I'm not so sure about this. You want us to listen to this guy? You want us to be submitted to this guy? You want us to be led by this dude? I'm not so sure. And I don't care who you are. You could be the most confident type A personality in the room. You could be the most arrogant person in the room and never show a single bit of insecurity, though you'd be full of it. When you're put in a place of authority, or you're placed, whether spiritually or secularly, in a place of authority, and people don't want to listen to you, people just refuse to adhere to your direction, something about that just devastates you. Something about that, I got a 3-year-old, she doesn't listen to me, that devastates me. I'm dad. Listen to me. Thus says your father. Stop screaming. Ah! I'm devastated. I tell my wife all the time, what did I do wrong? It doesn't matter how great or small you are. If you're the manager over 2 people on your job, or you're CEO of a company, if people don't respect you and people don't listen to you, it's devastating. And so Paul's writing his second letter to Timothy, and he's starting to encourage him. He starts off by saying, man, I remember, Timothy, I want you to know, you may not see yourself as having the ability to do this, but I remember the faith that was in your grandmother. I remember the unfaltering faith that was in your mom, Timothy. I remember the authority spiritually that they walked in. I remember, if I could add my own understanding to this today, if you would allow me to do that, if you were to bring it in a modern day sense, he was saying, Timothy, I remember hearing your mother pray in the prayer room. Timothy, I remember hearing your grandmother pray in the prayer room. I remember the women of faith that they were. I remember seeing them worship in our assemblies. I remember seeing them lay hands on individuals in our assemblies. I remember them praying for the sick and the authority and the faith with which they prayed for the sick. I remember those things, Timothy. And I believe, Timothy, that same faith, that same authority rests in your life. He's trying to bring some confidence to the situation here. That same faith is in you, Timothy. And then he says, I want you, Tim, to stir up the gift of God that's in you. What? I got a gift? Yes, you have a gifting, Timothy. What? I have a gift? Yes, you have a gift, Timothy. And he knew that he questioned the gifting that he had, because he said that was given you by me laying my hands on you. Timothy, I was there the night. You forget this, young man, but I was there the night that the Lord inspired me and I laid my hands on your head. I know, Timothy, that there was impartation that happened in that moment of time. And I'm writing this letter to you to remind you that the gift's there. It's lying dormant right now, and it's not active, but the gift is there, and I know it's there because I was there the night it was imparted to you. I wondered today. I wondered this morning as I began to get ready for service and got in my truck and begin to head down there, down here. What would happen? What would happen if a body of believers begin to understand and begin to take hold of understanding of what it meant to be a part of the ministry of laying on of hands? I'm not talking about just go around and touching people. I'm not just talking about trying to get your hands on as many people as possible and trying to touch as many heads and kiss as many babies as possible. But I'm talking about under the leading and unction of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
When the Lord says, go pray for somebody. When the Lord inspires and says, go lay hands on so-and-so. And I'm obedient to his voice. And I get there in that moment of time. And I lay my hands on their head. And I'm like, okay, God, you got to give me something to pray about. And nothing comes. And I just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. And I just keep giving myself to his utterance. And the things that he says. And the things that he wants me to do. And I may not be feeling anything specifically. And I may not say anything specifically. But all I know is, Lord, you let me to go pray for this individual. Only God knows in that moment of time what transpires in a second, in a minute, in 3 minutes, in 2 minutes. And when I pray and I'm there until I get a release and then I move on. And that may be the only person that I pray for an entire altar call. It may be the only person that I pray with an entire service. It may be the only person I pray with for a month. But only God knows what happened in that moment in time. The giftings that I possess. Here's the understanding that I'm coming to today. The giftings that I possess. Anything that I can do. I don't know. I don't even begin to understand sometimes. The way God works and how he does things. I can't tell you the moment in time. That the Lord gifted me for the things that he gifted me for. I don't even begin to remember different times and days. I know there's people here that can probably say, well, I remember this night and I remember this day. But I can tell you that throughout time, there have been men of God that have been brought into my life by God. Who have called me aside and said, the Lord told me he wants me to pray for you tonight. And I've allowed them, I've submitted myself to them, putting their hands on my head and begin to pray for me. And I can't even tell you the things that they said. I don't even remember. I didn't even need to hear what they said. Because when they put their hand on my head, I trust and believe in the ministry of impartation. And I don't have to be listening to every word and saying, oh, yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord. But when their spirit connects with his, and my spirit connects with his, and there's a witness in what's going on in the Holy Ghost between the two of us, the ministry of impartation begins to happen.
Amen.
You see, impartation doesn't just transpire by the laying on of hands. It can happen by the spoken word also. There have been times when ministry has been imparted to me, understanding has been imparted to me, as I've sit and received the spoken word of God. I have sat in meetings, Brother Cool, and I have listened to teaching, and there's not a single person who was teaching or a single person who was in authority in the meeting has ever came and laid their hands on my head. But when I came home and entered into my own prayer closet, or I came home and began to open the Word of God and began to study and go into my daily devotions, or I came home and came into this room and began to minister, I noticed and felt a considerable difference in my spirit.
Amen.
How did that happen? There was understanding, there was giftings, there were things imparted to me by my reception of the spoken Word of God. So if you're waiting around for somebody to put their hands on your head, wow, that's an incredible ministry. And wow, it's an incredible feeling when and if God decides to minister to you that way. I always have to be available to him. My spirit open and sensitive to him, to his voice, no matter who it is, no matter who's standing behind this lectern or that pulpit, no matter who it is that's ministering, whether it's Brother Berglund or Brother Heiner or Brother Kendrick, myself, whoever else, bishop, guest speaker, my spirit's got to be open to say, God, I want to receive from you today. I need your spoken word to impart understanding to me. You know, I look at people. Here's the thing. Our generation is full of people. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the apostolic church, okay? I'm not being broad here. I'm being specific. Our generation, this generation, is full of young people who are in the process of, quote unquote, developing ministries. Well, I'm developing my music ministry. Well, I'm developing my preaching ministry. I'm working on my oratory skills. I'm working on my Bible reading skills. Well, if you just started working on your Bible reading skills, you missed it. Go ask for forgiveness, repentance, find somebody to pray for you, and let's move on. I'm working on this. I'm developing this. I'm in the process of this. I don't find scripture for that. I find men of God who submitted themselves to receiving constant impartation. Jesus had 12 men follow him around. They weren't in development stage watching and, oh, well, you know, let's see what I can improve on here. Let's see if I can put my twist on what he does. I had a man say to me one time, he said, you can watch everything I do and repeat it. You have my permission. Oh, thanks. I needed that. Oh, I tried it for a while. I was dumb. I was young. Well, if it works for him, it'll work for me. No, that's a misunderstanding of giftings. I see a group of men who followed him throughout the Gospels. And he sent them out two by two. It was them who were faced with situations of, my daughter has a devil. My son has a devil. Would you cast him out? And it was him who told them, go to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. They weren't developing ministries. They were operating in ministry. And as he chose, he imparted understanding to them and ultimately imparted his spirit into them that gave them the ability to do what they did. And then you see them going through the book of Acts and finding people like they did in Acts chapter 6 who were just, as we heard 2 weeks ago, just destined or just asked to wait on tables. That's all they were asked to do. Can you come and make sure that these 50 people get a meal 3 times a day? You cook, you serve, you do the dishes. You got it? Yeah, we got it. Okay, now raise your hands. I'm going to put my hand on your head and I'm going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus. I'm not being facetious. I pray anoint these hands as they prepare those meals. And anoint these hands over here as they wash those dishes. And anoint these hands over here as they deliver the trays. And anoint these hands over here as they... You think I'm being crazy here?
No.
They laid their hands on them and prayed for them. But as they did that in their work, the word of God began to increase. The church began to grow. Why did the church grow? What happened in that moment of time? It was the impartation of spiritual giftings by the laying on of hands. Were those young men aspiring ministers? No. I don't believe that for a minute. Some churches have. They have a, I don't know what they call it, the Timothy ministry, the Titus ministry, something. It's the guys that sit back there, the second row, make sure the pastor's got his coat taken care of, make sure they got water bottles. Please forgive me, but are you kidding me? As though there's levels of ministry. I'm not saying that there isn't serving. I'm not saying that we can't serve, but that's not the way to the pulpit. Wow, we're going. I'm sorry. I marvel at the giftings that are evident in the body of Christ here in this congregation. I'm telling you, look at Brother Heiner. He goes from playing the bass to teaching the kids on Tuesday night or Thursday night, whenever they have Bible study here, taking them on trips, taking them on hikes, taking them on campouts, to playing the piano the next week. And he does it all great. Do you think he's been working on that for 25 years or 26 years, however old he is? Do you think he's been working on that for developing his talents, developing his giftings? No! Somewhere along the line, he was in a meeting somewhere. Something transpired. He may not be able to remember the time, but somebody laid their hands on his head and began to pray for him, and the Holy Ghost imparted giftings, Timothy. Amen. Paul said, I was there the night that it happened. I'm not surprised, Timothy, that you're over this congregation. I'm not surprised, Timothy, that you're an oversight over all the things that I've given you, because I personally laid hands on you, and there were gifts imparted to you. You can't teach somebody how to sing. You can't teach someone how to be anointed and play the keyboard. You can't teach someone how to be anointed and play a guitar. You can't teach someone how to be anointed and lead in worship. But if you let me get my hands on them and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost over them in a moment of time, the Holy Ghost can begin to impart giftings to men.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I saw Brother Berglund here earlier. You think he's been, you know, developing my gifting? I'm going to be the greatest teacher in the world. I'm going to pull all this material. No, I guarantee you, there's men of God in his life. All the way back to the days in Minnesota when the Lord saved him. Somebody in some little church in some podunk town in the backwoods of Minnesota probably got a hold of Mel Berglund one night and began to lay their hands on his head, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and the Lord began to impart things to him. Giftings were imparted in that moment in time. If that's the case, then why don't we see more giftings in operation in the body? Paul answers it in verse 7. He tells Timothy, number one, stir up the gift. It's there. It's dead. It's dormant. Number two, I know it's there because I laid hands on you. I was there the night you received the gift. And number three, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know people that are gifted beautifully to sing, but don't feel like they could ever get up there and sing in that microphone because I had stage fright. I started shaking. Oh my God. I gotta stand in front of people. What a waste of a gifting. I know people that are incredibly gifted teachers, but don't feel like they maybe measure up with speaking skills or with presentation skills like the next person does. Let me tell you something. Just because you're gifted to speak outside of this room doesn't mean you're gifted to speak in this room. I sometimes go to do presentations. I get done and I'm like, who in the world was that guy? I wouldn't listen to that guy for 5 minutes. And then I come in here, and it's like there's a flow. I could talk for hours. I could go on and on. We're having fun. We're having a good time. My gifting isn't meant for out there, but cool. He didn't gift me to go take the world by storm with corporate presentations. I'm not saying he doesn't give me grace at times. I'm not saying he doesn't extend his mercy to me at times, and I'll make a presentation and, oh man, that flowed. That was okay, good. They're gonna buy something. We won. Let's go. Let's move on. I'm not saying there aren't those moments because he gives them to me, but he constantly reminds me that my gifting isn't meant for out there. And while he gives me grace on my job and he allows me to be successful on my job and he blesses me and all of that, that night someone got a hold of me and laid their hands on my head, Brother Cool, and prayed for me. What was imparted to me wasn't meant for Pacific Lighting Systems. It was meant for the body of Christ. It was meant for the advancement of his kingdom. And he's allowed my grace, and he's allowed his mercy to advance my career to a certain point and bring success to secular business. But that was never what that night of impartation was ever about. I know people that are born again Christians, love God, attend church every Sunday, who are incredibly gifted businessmen. They have such favor, and they have such influence with secular leaders and people, and I'm amazed by them. I'm absolutely amazed by them. I'm not saying they don't have a spiritual gifting, but God has obviously gifted them for what they do. My youngest sister, who works for the same company that I do and is in the same field that I am, I watch her go into places, and I watch God give her grace with men. I go into meetings with her. I'm the older brother. I should be the one that's doing all the talking. I go into meetings with her, and I don't say a word. I just sit there. And I watch people who hate our company, hate our bosses, hate our management team, despise our ownership group, say, what can we do to help you? Who are you? He's gifted her for that purpose. She understands that. She uses it. She operates in it. I'm not saying that giftings can't be used out there, but I know for me, myself, what my gifting's been given for. I have a boss who's an incredibly gifted musician. Incredibly gifted musician. He plays music somewhere in the Seattle market every weekend. Every Saturday night, he's somewhere playing music. Very, very talented harmonica player. He found out I played drums. I got places you can go with me. Just tell me. We'll go. No, thank you. I'm not interested. Oh, I know, Brother Johnson. You don't want to go play in bars and you don't want to. No. He didn't give me to go play out there. I don't know what the night was. I don't know when the day was. I don't even know who it was. But at some point along the way, somebody laid hands on me and prayed for me. And the Lord, in that moment of time, they probably don't even know it to this day, imparted a gifting to me. I've never had a lesson in my life. I couldn't tell you what a drum note looks like or what a piece of drum music looks like. If you put it in front of me, I'd want it up and throw it in the garbage. I know nothing about any of that, but he's gifted me for a purpose, and that purpose is to advance his kingdom. And if I use my gifting for anything other than advancing his kingdom, amen. I gotta believe it turns his stomach. I understand that. And so I use every opportunity I get to use my giftings to advance his kingdom. You know, I'm just crazy enough to believe that if I tried to use my giftings for something else than this, they wouldn't work. Because it's gifting. It is. It's not anything else. It's not talent. It's not ability. It's gifting. I guarantee if you tried to put me on the political circuit and try to get me to run for office and get me to do political, I'd fail miserably because that's not my gifting. It's not what it was meant for. I had the thought this morning, Brother Cool. There's so many elders among us that represent so many years of faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness in their finances, faithfulness in giving and all the blessings of God that you see on their lives. I wonder if we truly understand the ministry of laying on of hands. You know, sometimes we get a little too self-righteous. Well, why is he laying hands on me? Who's he think he is? He's not the pastor around here. Who's he think he is? He's not the youth leader. Why is he laying hands on me? Man, I'm telling you. There's people in here whose the blessings of God are on your life. You can see it. He's blessed you with children. He's blessed you with children that are living for God. He's blessed your finances. He's blessed your home. He's blessed your job. My goodness, lay your hands on me and pray for me. That's right. I believe in the ministry of impartation. It's not limited to individuals. And I can't create it. I can't say, you go pray for you and impart this to him. I can't do it. I do believe that there are specific moments in time. There have been moments in time in this room when the Lord has inspired individuals. And they've taken the mic and said, we're going to have this person pray for everyone today. I've been here. You've been here. And I believe that powerful things happen in those settings. But I don't think you can underestimate the power of a gathering like this when spirit-filled people begin to wait on him. And somebody just feels a little nudging of his spirit. I want you to go lay hands on Sister Johnstone and pray for her. What am I supposed to pray for? Just go pray for her. And somebody walks over and puts their hand on her head and begins to pray for her. And in that moment of time, the Lord begins to impart maybe just strength. Maybe more anointing, maybe more power. Maybe you don't even understand what you possess. Maybe you don't understand the authority and power that rests on you because you don't operate in it. Maybe there's something lying dormant in you that you're unaware of. Maybe you were aware of it back in the day, but you're unaware of it now because it's been so long ago since it was in operation. But there's something lying dormant in you that God's using to impart to other people. And he's waiting on you, Timothy, to stir up that gift. There are so many giftings across this room today. Every different individual, all your life experiences, everywhere you've come from, different churches, different congregations, different places you came to God, the place you received the Holy Ghost, your first pastor, all of these things. All different giftings. And a lot lie dormant. I'm going to invite the musicians to come. Would you stand with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Iranoriarabashiano Roburiarabakia Rondoriarabahaye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Il loro bossi arrande alla la barondori alla la basci arrondori alla la baie. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Il loro bori alla basci carondori alla bacchi alla baie. I'm going to invite you today to just take a moment and allow the Lord to talk to you regarding the giftings that have been imparted to you. Some of them are active and you're operating in those giftings. There's others that you operate in a gifting, but there's multiple giftings, and some of those others are lying dormant. There's some that you're not operating in any gifting. You know that the Lord has gifted you. You know that there's been things imparted to you, but you just don't operate in it. It just lies dormant. I'm inviting you today. Would you talk to the Lord? Would you allow that gifting to be stirred up within you? And if maybe the operation doesn't begin today, and maybe you don't begin to operate in it tomorrow, or maybe even next week or next month, would you begin to allow the Lord to start a process in you right now and allow that gifting to be stirred up in you, whatever it is? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There might be giftings in this room that are unbeknownst to you. You're not even aware of it. There may be others, you know exactly what your gifting is, and you know today, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that that gifting is lying dormant in you. It's not being used. Would you let the Holy Ghost stir up that gifting in you? If you don't know what the gifting is, if you're not sure, would you ask the Lord to reveal it to you? Ask Him to show it to you. And once He does that, then ask Him to allow that gift to be in operation in your life today. The body of Christ needs your gifting. He imparted it to you to use. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." He's talking about believers. He's talking about the ministry of laying on of hands. He's talking about people who believe the message of Jesus Christ, the message of the new birth, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost. Those who act upon that belief, experience a new birth. He's saying those believers are going to go out, and that they're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You believe in the ministry of impartation today? That if I have faith to believe, Father, your word says that if I lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. And so when I encounter a sick person and I lay my hand on them and I begin to pray for them, this isn't just a ritual. I've got to believe that his spirit residing in me gives me the faith to believe that his word is true, and that if he said he would heal the sick, then he will heal the sick. And in faith right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing in Jesus' name. It's as simple as that. I gotta believe that I'm not just doing this just to make you feel good. That's why I ask anybody that I pray, can I lay my hand on you? Can I hold your hand? Can I touch you? Put my hand on your shoulder. Grab a hold of your hand. I don't remember who said this, but a couple years ago somebody said, "I lay hands on people not only so the Lord can move through me to them, but so I can feel what they're feeling." And I'm telling you, when I begin to feel something, when I begin to feel the power of God come over me, when I've got my hand on somebody's shoulder, I know that's what they're feeling. And now I can speak with a confidence and say, "The Lord's moving on you right now. His spirit is moving on you," especially if there's somebody who has never experienced the power of God before. There's a powerful ministry that awaits every believer who will step out in faith. Don't let fear rule and reign. With boldness, with the authority of the Holy Ghost, laying hands on the sick, laying hands on individuals as the Lord leads us to. I'm not talking about just going around touching everybody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about boldness in the Holy Ghost to act upon his word and his inspiration. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, in the name of Jesus, let your spirit stir us today, Father. Let your spirit stir up the giftings within us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.